Thank you for downloading the report from the BBC. This week, the London Olympic Games are in full swing, but after 7 years of preparation, how did plans for security, to be provided by the private contractor G4S, go so badly wrong?
Get your ticket ready! Happy people, we're so happy to see you. Thank you for coming.
Guys, if you're going to the Olympic Park, just make sure your tickets are ready now. There'll be upward side security checks, so just keep it to the middle left, please.
At the Olympic Park in London, the world is queuing to watch the 2012 Games. But the privately hired security guards with their bright green T-shirts are in short supply. The contractor G4S, paid £284 million, has failed to deliver. So the army have been called in. The final humiliation in this tale of botched hiring, confidential contracts, and seemingly cosy relations between the government and a powerful company. The episode matters because of a wider trend in Britain to privately outsource security functions once performed by the state.
I wish I trusted my instinct a little better, but if you've got all these people who are responsible telling you they can do it, you end up believing them.
There has been a couple of thefts from the athlete's village. I was working when a member of G4S staff stole a mobile phone, and another time someone else stole a watch.
G4S hasn't supplied the number of staff it promised. And even now, they're trying to provide more trained staff day to day. The episode has embarrassed Britain, and it's cost us, as 4,700 extra soldiers and extra officers from 8 police forces have been diverted to plug the gaps. For the report this week, we've been following the way Olympic security has deteriorated before and after the Games began, through the eyes of insiders, a host of whistleblowers from among the workers of G4S and from the police. Through their stories, we've been working out precisely how things went wrong.
Well, it's late at night here at London 2012, and I'm at the docks, the London Docklands, and rising out of the water here is a cruise ship, the MV Gemini, and this is actually a place where G4S workers are being housed, some of them. Now, although that sounds quite luxurious, actually, it's quite a sombre setting. There's a large patch of open ground before the ship that's sealed off with a couple of perimeter fences, and the security is very tight. We've been told that workers can't speak to members of the media, so we are going to try and approach them to see if they'll tell us a little bit about how things have really been for them. Tell me your story. You're coming down here today. I can see you've got your case with you. You're rolling it towards the good ship Gemini.
My entire wardrobe. I was told, park for the entire duration of the Olympics, get down there, get your uniform, find out what you're doing, and hopefully we get sorted out to start work.
Arriving here with his wheelie case just hours before the opening ceremony, this young man is a G4S security guard at a key East London venue. In December last year, G4S promised to supply 10,400 guards like him to the Games. It was only 3 weeks ago that they admitted that they would fall short by at least 3,000. We've spoken to several G4S workers who give some insight into why. This recruit had been waiting for instructions for 6 months and was then suddenly contacted just days before the Games.
It's incredibly disorganised. Nobody seems to know what's going on, where we're going, what we're supposed to do.
Your guys are going to be doing security at the world's premier sporting event. Do you feel adequately prepared?
I really don't think so. It would depend on the role, but considering even now, the night before, I've got no idea what I'm doing, I think it's a case of just turning up and finding out on the day, which still I should be prepared beforehand.
G4S first sent him on a course to get a government-regulated door guarding qualification, the SIA, or Security Industry Association badge. The second stage of training is role-specific for what you'll actually do. He was trained as a perimeter guard. Despite that, the morning after we met, he told us he was sent to assist at an X-ray machine at a venue entry gate. In a statement to us, G4S said things like this hadn't happened, that specific training was given in all cases.
25th July 2012. Myself and my colleagues have had to explain to the G4S staff the correct way to search people and vehicles entering the site.
These are the voices of concerned police officers. We'll hear from them throughout the programme. Even though the security breaches they raise have now been cleared up, their accounts show what a close-run thing this has been. Their words are spoken by actors.
At some checkpoints, no more than a cursory wave of a hand metal detector was being made, and people setting off the alarms that walked through arches were not being challenged. I was surprised to see that delivery lorries arriving were just being checked to make sure they had a delivery note for the location before being allowed into the secured areas. I appreciate that once unloaded, the individual parcels delivered were being scanned, but at no point were the vehicle cabs, or more importantly, the cargo areas, being checked before the vehicles were passing through the gates.
I was one of the officers that was required back to fill the Olympic operation on 26th of July. The external post that I was asked to cover was the X-ray area. I mean, within minutes of being there, members of G4S security were turning up for work, entering the tent, and just being allowed to walk straight through the detection arches where they were met by the search team. They were even carrying bags with them, which weren't being checked or opened. People being allowed through the venue, having not been searched, even when they'd set the detection arch alarms off. Having witnessed this debacle, I asked to speak to the person in charge of the G4S side of the operation. He went on to inform me that none of them had received a lot of training into the searching side of things and the procedures that were in place. He was unaware that everybody that was entering the tent needed checking with the electronic wand for security reasons. Rightly or wrongly, I spent the next 25 minutes showing all the security staff at this point the art of searching. All of them stated that I'd taught them more in 25 minutes than they'd learned on their initial input during the training.
G4S say they can't respond to the individual points these officers make, but say that many allegations against their staff have turned out to be untrue and fabricated. Let's investigate the first set of failings, involving the 6 months from December last year, when G4S promised to supply 10,400 guards, until July, when the company first admitted it was going to fail. Who exactly was in charge of oversight of G4S? It's hard to blame any one person or agency, because in fact, Olympic security planning was being managed by a network of interlocking committees. That hadn't always been the way. In the early days, just after the 7th of July attacks in 2005, a single police officer was mandated to take control of security planning.
My name is Tariq Ghafoor. I was very, very clear that the planning actually and the implementation of that plan laid with the Metropolitan Police on behalf of the police service, and from there they coordinated all the other agency plans.
So one person's in charge of the private companies, the police and everything else?
Well, yes.
Tariq Ghafoor is angry with the Metropolitan Police after he was sidelined from his role in charge of Olympic security planning back in 2008 in a bitter dispute ending in him receiving a payout for racial discrimination. When he left, he says, his new equivalent in the police was asked to work with the Home Office in a committee structure. By the last crucial months, the main regular check on G4S was a weekly meeting of what's described as a multi-agency body with members from the Ministry of Defence, the Home Office, the police, the Government Olympic Executive, G4S and the London Organising Committee, or LOCOG, the private company overseeing the Games. This committee reported to a higher committee, the Olympic Security Board, chaired by a Home Office official.
It moved from an operational environment into, you know, let's sit around a desk, a more administrative environment.
So it was about coordination rather than command?
Coordination, but end of the day, you know, you are implementing a major operational plan in terms of delivery. And if you put it somewhere else, then the whole kind of ethos, the whole mindset changes. And frankly, I think, you know, some of the current problems that have emanated since, I'm pretty sure, actually are not only related to one agency, but they're related to whatever was the operational aspects that were put into that place were either left too late or were not tested properly on the ground or simply did not work.
But even if no one was properly checking, why was such a huge company failing to deliver such a prestigious contract? G4S, or Group 4 Securicorps, has its own company song or anthem. You love your job and the people too. Making a difference is what you do. But consider all you have at stake. The time is now, don't make a mistake. The firm is bigger than many small countries, employs 657,000 people worldwide, and earns much of its revenue from government contracts. Britain's Home Office pays it £600 million, the majority of its UK income, to run many of our prisons, asylum centres and even police work. Until recently, its rise seemed unstoppable. Until, in the wake of its Olympics failings, CEO Nick Buckles was summoned to Parliament.
Bearing in mind all these changes, are you still going to claim your management fee at all?
Yes.
Why?
Because
when you haven't managed.
We have managed the contract and we'll have management on the ground.
But even after all that's happened, you still wish to claim the management fee?
Yes.
Mr. Buckles wouldn't speak to us for this programme. Here he's being interrogated by Keith Vaz MP, chair of the Home Affairs Select Committee. Mr. Vaz says it's not that the labyrinth of committees and organisations overseeing Olympic security never looked into security planning. Reports were commissioned, but neither his committee nor our team has yet seen them in detail.
The very first report into this was way back in September 2011, a report by Her Majesty's Chief Inspector, Sir Dennis O'Connor. There was another report by him in February, and in April, Deloitte was commissioned to do a joint report between G4S and LOCOG. So there were obviously concerns over a long period of time, even though the short story reveals weeks, perhaps even days, the longer story, the full-length book, is actually much longer.
The Home Office have told us that any suggestion that they knew about G4S's failings before July is completely untrue. Instead, Home Secretary Theresa May has said G4S kept promising oversupply of guards. And G4S did have huge numbers of potential recruits. 110,000 people applied and 50,000 were interviewed. But each guard then has to be vetted by the company, trained in a basic guarding qualification, security checked again by LOCOG and the Home Office for accreditation, trained further for their specific role, and then assigned. G4S had 6 months in which to achieve all this. But it seems to have deliberately left much of the work until close to the deadline, a money-saving system known in the business jargon as a just-in-time phasing policy.
On my computer, I've probably got 40 or 50 emails that I've saved, that I've sent to various members of G4S and didn't get a reply from.
A G4S senior manager meeting me in a pub near an Olympic venue. He was told to report here 48 hours before events began, despite multiple attempts by him to contact G4S to be told exactly what he'd be doing.
Only when I started almost threatening that, I'm not going to do it, or at one stage threatening I was going to sue them in the small claims court for loss of earnings, etc., and waste of time. Eventually, a couple of people became fairly helpful and tried to appease me and say, yeah, we'll find somewhere for you.
It does sound very last minute.
The training was done at a place in Stratford, and it was like a sausage factory, really. They had hundreds of people just being pushed through courses, being given PowerPoint presentations, which just seemed to be they were so desperate to get so many people through. It was almost as if the task had overwhelmed them.
I decided it was going to be exciting working for a security firm involved with the Olympics.
This man, whose words are spoken by an actor, has a story which raises potentially worrying questions about the disorganised recruitment drive. He applied to G4S, was trained, accredited, and then got a surprising phone call.
When I got back, having collected the accreditation pass, I got a telephone call to say I'd failed security screening, which I thought was unbelievable. I'd just been to pick up my accreditation pass.
After he hung up, he sent in more details of his employment history, which G4S had asked for. It seemed to have been enough to satisfy them. He was asked to report to an Olympic venue and work.
I started my first shift, completed a 12-hour night shift. I was then on 3 days off before commencing six more nights. In between that time, my schedule had disappeared off the computer system. It turned out they'd deleted my schedule because they said I'd failed screening again, and now I'm out of a job.
It seems that one part of G4S was worried he wasn't a suitable recruit, but another part had him working for them in an Olympic venue. He has since been told the calls he got were a mistake, that he is security cleared and okay to work. G4S admits there were scheduling problems, but say they've now been resolved. On the police side, the officers being drafted in have been worrying about the checks done on G4S staff.
26th of July 2012. We've been told to be on the lookout, unfortunately, for G4S staff are up to no good. It's by far and away the minority, but it's a shame for the athletes. There has been a couple of thefts from the athlete's village. I was working when a member of G4S staff stole a mobile phone, and another time someone else stole a watch. On our official police briefing, we've been told that five G4S staff have been arrested for being illegal immigrants and overstaying their visas. When they've been arrested, it's standard procedure to check their history through the computer. Previous arrests, for example. It's highlighted that some of the people arrested have got a history of criminality. Previous convictions for thefts. There was one who'd been previously done for assault. The people being hired and trusted with a significant role of maintaining security for a once-in-a-lifetime event, an incredibly high-profile event, have past histories of criminality and go on to commit crimes while working for G4S.
27th of July, 2012. The G4S lot are under-trained. They don't have the skills to do what they're expected to do. The supervisors test the process by bringing in things like fake improvised explosive devices, fake bombs, and knives through. However, they're doing this as part of the training. So the Olympics have started, they're athletes, but they're still having to do this to train the staff. I've been seeing a bag of knives and explosives going through without the guards even noticing them.
G4S point out that their staff are subject to rigorous security screening and vetting and are separately vetted by LOCOG and the government. And the police we've spoken to say that all the security issues we've reported here have now been cleared up. But there is widespread anger about G4S's failures among rank-and-file police officers. This is not just because their rest days were cancelled and their shift patterns changed. It's because of the underlying politics. G4S is also a favoured contractor among many of their bosses, as British police forces seek to outsource much of their work, a sector potentially worth billions to G4S, Serco and the other big private security providers. A big question for the future is whether the issues with Olympic security will prompt a rethink of this outsourcing. G4S's Olympics contract is an unusual case, however, because of its size and timing. The initial deal between G4S and LOCOG was smaller and more manageable, to recruit 2,000 guards and simply oversee thousands of students and volunteers who it was hoped would enlist. But late last year, LOCOG rather suddenly realised this number wouldn't be enough. With only 8 months left before the Games, they decided they would need to hire in five times as many security guards, from 2,000 to 10,400. And instead of looking for extra security suppliers, they decided to hand that entire expanded deal to the same one company, G4S. This decision is in many ways the most crucial moment in the entire Olympic security saga. Dr. Mark Button is a private security industry expert at Portsmouth University.
I think to put all your eggs in one basket for such a large event does raise some questions on the sort of the knowledge of those awarding the contracts of the, you know, the wider security industry.
And why is that? What is it about the wider security industry?
It's an industry dominated by high labour turnover. There is not a huge amount of loyalty to security companies amongst many security guards. So if those who had awarded the contract had brought in appropriate expertise of the industry, then they would have said this is such a huge project. Either you need to think about more contractors or you need to have a much more interventionist approach to managing the contractor to ensure that what they're proposing to be delivered is actually being delivered.
LOCOG have told us that by the time they realised they needed all those extra guards, it would have taken too long to have a tendering process with new contractors. They thought the best option was for G4S, which they point out is the world's largest security business, to simply take the extra work for around £200 million extra payment. But Margaret Hodge MP, who chairs the Public Accounts Committee of the House of Commons, was among those expressing their doubts that any single company could manage such a sudden recruitment drive.
We looked at this contract in December 2011, and we all said at that time we thought that that was an undeliverable objective. And if you look at the evidence that was given to us by the Chief Executive of LOCOG, by the Permanent Secretary of the Home Office, and by the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Culture, Media and Sport, they all say they were extremely confident that G4S would deliver on the contract. Our scepticism was met with absolute confidence. And if you want to know one thing I now wish, is I wish I trusted my instinct a little better and been driven by my scepticism at that time. But if you've got all these people who are responsible telling you they can do it, you end up believing them. And of course, that's proved to be completely misplaced.
G4S's critics say it has too much power to lobby for large state contracts. A former Home Secretary, Lord Reed, and a former Metropolitan Police Commissioner, Sir Paul Condon, are both on its board of directors. And when it comes to the Olympics, we have discovered that relations are even closer. G4S are officially a so-called Tier 3 sponsor of the London 2012 Games. This means G4S has paid at least £10 million to LOCOG, either in cash or in a discount for their services. Several of London 2012 suppliers have done deals like this. The so-called Tier 1 sponsors, like McDonald's, pay much more than G4S, which is a Tier 3 sponsor. The idea is to use sponsorship to save taxpayers' money. But could the fact that they were already a sponsor have influenced the decision to just go to G4S exclusively for the second, much bigger security deal? Keith Vaz, chair of the Home Affairs Select Committee.
I didn't know that they were a Tier 3 sponsor at the time. We took evidence from Mr. Buckles. This is information he didn't give us, nor did he give us any information as to any other support G4S was giving to the Olympics.
So until we discuss this now, he didn't say that he was a Tier 3 sponsor?
Well, he certainly didn't say it. I've read the transcript. But there clearly now, I see, as a relationship between getting the contract from the taxpayer and paying money. Because they always saw this as a vanity contract. This was all about the next World Cup and the next Olympic Games.
LOCOG and G4S have both refused to give us details of their sponsorship deal, saying it's commercially sensitive. It's a marked contrast with January this year, when one of G4S's top executives was much less guarded in his public comments about how close they've been to the London Olympics.
We still have an opportunity to make the British private security industry synonymous with really well-run major events. I say to my team, now's the time to make, in our case, G4S, the same to major events what Switzerland is to watches.
This is Ian Horseman-Sewell, G4S's director of major events, speaking at a security industry conference at RUSI, the Royal United Services Institute, a leading think tank. Listen carefully to what he says next. It appears G4S and other firms were involved in helping write London's Olympic bid, meaning they were involved before we even won the Games.
So, just to give you some context, I've put together here a timeline of what the Olympics looks for us like so far. It goes back just nigh on 9 years for us now, when a couple of us got involved in writing bits and bobs for the bid, along with many other people from the private security industry and the trade associations that were involved at that time.
So you just said G4S were involved in getting some pieces, bits and pieces together for the bid. And what was on the screen behind him at the time?
Yeah, I was in the room at the time and I was taking notes on what he was saying.
Pete Fussey is an expert on Olympic security at the University of Essex. And he was in this conference, making notes on what Mr. Horseman-Sewell was saying.
It's clear that people within G4S, as well as the rest of the private security industry, were involved in drafting some of the elements of the bid relating to security.
So, Pete, I can see your notes that you took. So this was notes not on the speech, but on what was written on the PowerPoint slides. I can see 2003. So what does that say?
2003, G4S individuals wrote bits of the bid.
Right. And 2005, then, it says as well?
G4S created an Olympic project board. 2005, G4S engaged in political lobbying.
Going back to 2003, this presentation was making it clear that G4S was involved in writing the bid and political lobbying.
Well, yeah, he makes clear that individuals from G4S were involved in writing the bid. In putting together something as large as a candidature file for the Olympic Games, you know, people will involve different players and private security will be one of those. So I don't think it's necessarily totally unusual that you've got people from private security involved in drafting the bid, particularly at the level of trade associations and so on. What's interesting here is obviously that G4S were involved at this stage and then they won the contract at the end.
There is no suggestion here of corruption in the Olympics process, merely evidence that G4S, which was ultimately given a contract too big to manage, was close to those who were meant to be scrutinising them from very early on in the history of the London Games. When we asked LOCOG about this, they said categorically that G4S played no role in London's Olympic bid. But G4S's account to us is slightly different. They admit that they advised in an informal, unpaid capacity. Keith Vaz of the Commons Home Affairs Select Committee.
This is not something that Mr. Horseman Sewell told the committee when he gave evidence to us on the 17th of July. We are going to get to the bottom of the entire involvement of G4S. Why? We will be having other major events. This is a world centre, London, and we're going to be asking for other events. And if we get the definitive version of what went wrong, it'll help us in the future. I don't think that the public sector can deliver everything. But I do think the balance is now completely in the favour of the private sector. And this is a real warning shot to everybody that at the end of the day, you have accountability. After all, those who work for G4S are only accountable to Nick Buckles in the end, and he to the shareholders.
Keith Vaz points out that we've had 7 years to plan the London Olympics in the security-conscious city, which was rocked by terrorist bombs back in 2005, the day after London won the Games.
The one thing I thought would absolutely be perfect would have been security. We may not have won enough gold medals, and there may be a problem with transport, but we never thought security was going to be a problem, simply because of where it was and the expertise available.
Keith Vaz will have a second chance to grill G4S executives and the Home Secretary next month when his Home Affairs Select Committee summons them again. The evidence we have found for this programme suggests that the long-standing relationship between G4S and those planning the Olympics and the decision to keep them on as the exclusive supplier is at least part of the story. That inquiry is to come. But now, as the Games enter their second week, what's the security situation like? Back to a pub near an Olympic venue where a G4S manager is speaking out.
It's the people on the ground, the managers, the team leaders and the guys and girls themselves who are doing this job that are going to make this work.
So you're determined to make this work despite the failures on the way?
It will be, and I've just been so encouraged by the attitude of the people that I've seen at work. These are the people that the public see of G4S and have probably got a low opinion of, but it's not their fault. It's got to be a senior management fault. The whole project seems to have been mismanaged or underestimated, and that's where the problem lies clearly.
LOCOG have told us that they have, quote, the best brains in the security business working on this. Home Office, Metropolitan Police, Ministry of Defence and the world's largest private security business. That business, G4S, say they have organised, quote, the biggest peacetime security operation ever and are continuing to work around the clock to get more trained security officers on duty and to ensure the games are safe and secure. The Home Office has told us that because of their contingency plan to send in military backup, quote, venue security has been maintained at all times. It's true that none of our sources feel security has, in the end, been compromised. Their concern is that we came dangerously close.
Mukul Devachand. The producer was Charlotte Pritchard. Next week, Simon Cox investigates the likely economic benefits of the London Olympics.